You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So I've got a challenge for us this morning. This is the end of our series, which is called Repurpose. And it's a challenging message, to be honest with you. I could almost get shouty in the middle. So if I do, I'm not doing it for effect. I just think this is so important when we get to the end of a message that we've heard from God. Our message has been called Repurpose, and actually just the key parts, and I know some have been and have dipped into various bits of the message, but part of the message was to say, when we repurpose our lives, when our lives are reshaped, how do we reshape those? There's no PowerPoint on the screen this morning, so don't worry about looking up there. Sue's not missed anything. The thing that I challenged us to do was to take responsibility back for our lives. And actually, the reason why I challenge us to take responsibility back for our lives is that we need to recognize something, that when we blame somebody or something, it has authority over our lives. So if you blame somebody and you keep blaming them, I guarantee when you go to bed or when you come to a different situation, that story is replaying in your mind again, again, and again, and again, and you keep blaming them. And that person actually has some authority over you. Blame something like money and say, I've never got enough money, and money becomes this thing that dominates you. You will say, I'm always poor, and money has authority over you, and it dictates what goes on in your life. And we need to stop blaming people or situations or things that rule us or trap us in those places, even places of past regrets. And what I said is, once we've actually recognized some of those things and we call to mind, yes, actually, this is the thing I keep replaying over and over in my mind, we need these things called guardrails. Now, if you want to go online, you can pick up these guardrails. They were kind of packaged down into little messages. We've kind of finished with those last week. But guardrails, like they're there on bridges and sharp corners and everything else, you can go into a guardrail in your car. It might make a bit of a mess of your car, but what it did do was stop you going into the danger zone. It stopped you going over the edge or into a mountain or whatever else is there. The guardrail physically protects you when you're in a vehicle. And we were saying we need spiritual guardrails, those things where we know, based upon our past, we know what we've done in the past, we know our present situation, we know where we want to be. Based upon who I am, I know that I need to put some things in my life, because if those temptations or I go down those roads come up, I will probably quite naturally fall over the edge. And therefore, we need this thing called wisdom. And wisdom is more than being right or wrong. Because otherwise you come to church and they say, oh yeah, they tell you what you should or shouldn't do. Thou shalt not is what they normally put as well. I mean, who speaks like that anymore? Thou shalt not smoke. I mean, it's not written like that in the Bible anywhere. We need wisdom, and the Bible talks about wisdom. And wisdom is more than being right or wrong. It's about what's right or wrong for me right now. And we said that's going to be different for each and every one of us in the room. And therefore, we need to exercise some good judgment. But you probably heard, if you come to church as well, or you don't want to go to that church, thou shalt not, and if thou shalt does, they will judge thee. Do people talk like that anymore? I don't know. But they do. You get accused of being a judge, don't you? Oh, don't go to church. They'll judge you if you don't do these things. And actually what we said was, no, we don't want to be a judge, because when I set myself up as a judge, I'm looking at your life and I'm saying, ooh, look at what you're doing. What I'm actually saying is I exercise good judgment. I look at myself and I say, in this situation, knowing my past, what I'm like, knowing where I am now and where I want to be, I need to exercise some good judgment to say, the words we used were, and we nicked it off somebody else's video, I'm not emotionally mature enough to deal with this situation. I'm not judging you. If that's what you want to do, that's absolutely fine. But for me, I know that if I stay here or carry on doing this, it's not going to work out well for me. I know this because I've been through it a number of times in my past, and I don't want to do it again. So what should our repurposed lives look like here in church? Well, hopefully they look like the kingdom of God. And I don't know if you can remember back, but I said the kingdom of God, the way the kingdom of God works is it puts others first. And if you put others first, and others are putting others first. Everybody's putting everybody else first. And we end up in this place which is called righteousness, a place where it's a level playing field. We look after one another rather than one person being up on their ivory tower and beating the other person down with a stick. I don't know if you remember the video that I played, but it showed all those people like on different levels. If you imagine different blocks, one's up here and one's down there. And the kingdom of God would look like this, is all flat. That's what righteousness is all about. We'd all be on the same level. But the guy that's up here with a big stick that starts beating the person down there, the person down there gets hold of the person with the stick and he pulls him down to the same level. But then the person that was down there sits up here, starts beating the other person over the head with a stick. And that's what the world is like. We live in this place where there is unrighteousness, not that level playing field. But if the kingdom of God is about others first, then when we help each other up, or there's that place where we come to the same level, that is what the kingdom of God looks like. And I suppose the question you're going to ask is, well, Darren, that's all fine and dandy, but why? Why is that even important? This is the last message that I've mentioned in this series, and probably not the conclusion that you're after this morning, which is a pat on the back, keep going, you're doing fine. Now, whilst that is good, I do want to encourage you, I do want to give you a pat on the back and say, keep going, that is fine. But actually, there's something else that's far more important. And actually, it struck me through the words of the song even this morning as I chose some of the words of the song, and maybe God's speaking to you as well. In that reading, was there anything in that reading that really just jumped out at you? I mean, what's that all about? Some of that we're going to unpack this morning, but not necessarily all of it. There's a story. I don't know if you've heard this story before. You can tell me whether it is true or not. I did spend probably longer than I should have done trying to work out if it's a true story or not. Whether it's a true story or not, I hope you get the understanding of what the point is here. And it was said that a number of years ago, when Russia was under communism, the story is told of two Russian guards who burst into a prayer meeting, fully armed. They burst into a meeting just like this. And they said, if you're not prepared to die for your faith, get out of here. So these two guys burst in, room full of Christians. If you're not prepared to die for your faith, get out of here. And half of those professing Christians left. And the story says this: when the doors were closed, the guards put their guns down, they got their Bibles out, and they said, we are believers, but we didn't want to risk fellowship until we sorted out the sheep and the goats. Now, why am I telling you that this morning? Well, if you've got your Bible still open, we're going to stay in Matthew 24 this morning. Like I say, there's no PowerPoint, so you can flick in Matthew 24. But if you go down towards verse 27, it speaks about the signs or the conditions for Christ's return at the end of the age. Now, I'm not going to go into all the amillennial, premillennial, pre-trib, post-trib, a whatever. If that's what you're hoping for this morning, you're saying, what on earth is he talking about? Don't worry, we're not going there this morning. We're going to look at it in its really basic, broad terms, because I want us all to understand this morning. This is a message which I believe is important. What about the signs and conditions for Christ's return at the end of the age? What does the Bible say? Matthew 24, verse 37, it says this: as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Nothing wrong with there, eating and drinking, getting married. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Verse 39 then continues: and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. This is basically just saying quite obvious stuff. Society will be carrying on as normal, as if nothing is wrong, until maybe it's too late. Too late for what? The Bible is talking about the Son of Man that's coming back to take his people away from all of the horrible things of this world, and that will come to an end one day. We need to know, do we not, when he's coming back. And my burden as pastor and my burden at the end of this message is I don't want anybody to be sat here in church this morning unclear that Christ is coming back for those that he loves, and none of us know when that time will be. But what will the time be? Well, it says, as in the days of Noah. And what were these days like? If you were to go back to Genesis 6, you'll see in verses 5 and 11, if you want to make notes on these, they are already in the notice sheet, so you can always go back and look these verses up for yourself later. In Genesis 6 and verse 5 and verse 11, it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man, remember this is in Noah's day, had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. I don't know if you remember back to last week about guarding your hearts. It says, and the earth also, in verse 11, was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. Now, this is talking about Noah's day. It was evil all the time. The earth was corrupt. It was full of violence. And human hearts were not, they didn't have guardrails. They were not guarding their hearts. So let me just ask you for a moment, just think about this. When you see the news on the TV today, would you say that violence is becoming more prevalent in our society? And it's not just in the UK, is it? I mean, we've seen all the stuff that's going on in America with all the guns, or New Zealand, whatever's going on with guns and stuff there. And you can say, well, we haven't got guns in the UK, but we've got knives now, haven't we? Knives seem to be the thing. We've even got the knife angel here. Do you see maybe when you look at the TV that lying is that standard way of life now? Do we even know what is the truth anymore? Truth is what we want it to be today, isn't it? I mean, I can make up my own truth as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Now, you might say this is a churchy word, but morality has gone out the window. People are, I believe, we can see around the world doing the most evil things and calling it good. And yet when some of us try and do the good things, they call us evil. Are you surprised by that this morning? Are you surprised that this is the world that we're heading to? Because I suppose the question I'm asking is do you know what it says in the Bible about the last days? Why I'm concluding this series with this message is I think a lot would not be sat in seats here now if those gunmen came in through the door and said, are you prepared to die for your faith? Are you prepared to die for this? It was interesting, just before Christmas, we did a message which was called Go. Go and tell people on the streets. We've got our little booklets kicking around. This is what Limbrick Wood Baptist Church is about. And we want to go and tell people the good news. And I said, the best thing you can do to share the good news with people is tell people your story. What is your story? What is it that God has done? And people have left this church because they did not have a story. And that breaks my heart. I'm not rejoicing in that at all. It breaks my heart that people left because they didn't have a story. They don't know what God has done for them. But say the gunman bursts in this morning, who's standing in their seats? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I just want you to think about this. Do you really know what the Bible says? Are you prepared to lay your life down for it? I told you this is the message you weren't expecting this morning, didn't I? It's going to get tougher. But I want to challenge you this morning because I don't want you to leave here saying, nobody told me. What does the Bible say? What sort of future maybe are you looking for if you come to church this morning? Is it that all your prayers will be answered? That the world will be a lovely place? I mean, it sounds nice, doesn't it? That there will be, was it, we don't get Miss World so much anymore, do we? I think it's probably all banned now for some reason or another. But what did Miss World want? I want all of these things and I want world peace. Oh, wouldn't world peace be lovely? Always put the world peace a bit in at the end. Will we have world peace? Well, what does the Bible say? If you were to look in the New Testament again, 2 Timothy 3 at the beginning. Depends on your translation, but I quite like what the NIV does on this. 2 Timothy 3, it's nearer towards the back if you look in. It says, but mark this. This is Paul speaking, saying, look, take note, listen to this. Why? Because there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Does that sound like today? They'll be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, obviously not in church, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited. He's got a good list here, hasn't he? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And yet they have a form of godliness but deny its power. And Paul says here, look, have nothing to do with such people. The last days are terrible. He uses that word perilous. I think it's a good translation. Perilous time. And there's probably something, I don't know about you, but there's something in my heart. If I look at the TV and I hear that, I think, yeah, we're living in perilous times. Maybe not so much here in the UK, but actually, I even read it on the news, one of the news articles this morning. It was saying the UK, you know, it's like a rock. It's that sovereignty. It's that place that you could be assured of what's going on. And what's all this Brexit stuff about? I thought this was a strong country, and people around the world are saying, you're the laughing stock now. Even our own parliament, it doesn't know what it's doing. And actually, a good question to ask, do you feel that right now is a time where all hell could break loose on our streets? Because actually, and I think the media has been a lot to play with this part, but whoever's done it, there's a lot of anger. You know, could I divide the room now? Said who said leave and who said stay? I mean, would that really divide us this morning? Would we get cross with each other? Would we get angry with each other over that? Or was it an opinion and something we voted on in our democracy? You see, I think there is a boiling point where people are saying, do you know what? All hell could break loose. Did you see that? I can't remember where it was now. Was it Mexico or somewhere or the other, where the power went off overnight and they looted the city? Did you see that? And that I think it was on the Sky News. Where was it? Venezuela, thank you. And they looted this hotel. Now, when I thought of looting, I thought, well, they'd have nicked a few things and all the stuff, you know, they'd have taken the towels. They took the doors and the door frames. They took everything. And when the whole place was stripped, they burnt it. And you look at something like that on the telly and you say, could that even happen here in the UK? Are we living in such times now where that could kick off and who knows what happens? The reason I bring it up is, what does the Bible say about this? Are you one of those people that when reading a book reads the last page? Does anybody do that to find out what happens at the end? There's a few shakes of head. Ooh, how dare you, Darren? I've got to wait till I know people that do that. They read the last page because they want to find out what's going on. What happens at the end? So if that's not your thing this morning, you can keep the Bible shut. But actually, if you turn to the last bit, the last chapter of the Bible, what does it say? Revelation 22, verse 11 says this. And this is a translation, actually. I think it's a good translation. There's different translations. I'm going to give you both. But the one I first saw, it said this. It said, let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous, and the vile continue to be vile. Let the righteous, however, continue to practice righteousness, and the holy continue to be holy. Now, what does that mean? Come on, Darren, lots of big words in there. Okay, it's like this. Evil people will keep on being evil. They might even get more evil. Evil is going to prevail. And anyone who's got a dirty mind will stay dirty-minded. But good people will keep doing what is right. And God will always be and God's people will always be holy. You see, we live in a time when I'm going to mention some things, and I know I'm going to maybe divide the room again, that probably get me or the church in trouble and go, oh, this is what the church always says. You can check out our Google ratings to see what people think about us. But if you start to make a list, people think you say, oh, well, if I'm one of those, he's labeling me as all of those things. But we do live in a time where people will march around proudly. And this is why I didn't do any PowerPoint this morning, because I didn't want to put anything on the screen. But you can go and buy an I Love Abortion t-shirt. And there's marches and things going on in New York at the moment where the law's changed. And again, I'm not biasing this, but the law is such that you can have a termination of a little baby in the womb beyond 24 weeks now. And people are walking around with I Love Abortion t-shirts on. And if you don't believe me, go and Google it afterwards. We live in a time where this happens. Surely any time is wrong taking the life of an unborn child. We live in a time where one's sexual activities, which is a gift for the bedroom, is promoted on our streets. Now, I'm not going to get into a massive LGBT issue here this morning, but why do you want to take it out on the street for? It's a gift for you and your marriage. And yet we see it on the TV, the internet, and the newspapers, and it's actually become an identity issue. An identity issue that's shaping our society, which again says, people, if it feels right for me, I will do it. I've not seen the march of the shower takers that are arguing with the bath takers. You know, I am a showering person. Do not, I have rights. You're a bath person. Bath, 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 bath. What is our identity? Where is it where these things suddenly come and shape our identity? When we want to take a bath. There's two topics there. I'll just throw them out there that might get under your collar. It might cause something to bubble up inside of you. But there's many other things. This last week, I can't tell you how much witchcraft and horoscope stuff I've seen that's come across my path. The things I've seen on the internet, just on Facebook, chatting to my friends and seeing all this stuff. I even had a live seance come up on Facebook on my phone. I didn't choose it. And there's some bloke and I recognize his eyes. And he's doing his, can I have a number? People are saying, can I have a 22 and a number 6 and all this. I thought they were ordering Chinese and everybody I've spoken to thought it was. But I don't know whether he was doing tarot cards or what he was doing. It just popped up on my phone, a live seance. And what surprised me, as much as this thing popped up on my phone, is that everybody that was on there and people I know in this community seemed to know what was going on and they were speaking this language. And I'm saying, what is our society about at the moment? Where is our world heading? I said it a moment ago. We're heading to a place where evil is considered good and good is considered evil. Question, do we live in a time now like we never have had before? The Bible speaks about an Antichrist coming and people will follow the Antichrist. And you go, don't be so stupid, Darren. No one's going to follow an Antichrist. Do you know what? I think we live in a time where they go, Antichrist, he's cool. Going to get a tattoo. I'm a follower. And think that that is trendy. I genuinely think if we can walk around with T-shirts talking about murdering kids and stuff on it, we're in a time where people will say, I will follow the Antichrist, not the God of the Bible. You see, this is the thing. A lot of societies around the world were built on a value system. And most of that value system was actually based upon the Word of God. Take the Word of God away, and what are you left with? And actually, if you say the Word of God is wrong, that means you steer away from those things and you go towards something else. Well, what do we go towards? Well, I think this is right, but you think something else is right. We can vote on it. And if the person that shouts the loudest didn't get their way, well, they can complain and we'll see what happens. Should we be surprised that we live in a world like this nowadays? And I think the thing is I want to say to you, no, what were you expecting? If you've been reading your Bible, what were you expecting society to look like? And this is the takeaway this week. We should be expecting these things to take place. Why? Because if the Bible is true, it told us it is going to happen. But are you ready for how that will impact your Christian life? You see, Paul says perilous, dangerous times are coming. How do those words line up with the world peace view you might have been told when you became a Christian? It's a health and wealth gospel. Come and be a Christian. You'll be rich and you'll be healthy. I don't see that anywhere in my Bible. Are you ready for what the world is going to become? It's written in Luke 21 as well, if you want to go back and have a look at a slightly different take on it from Matthew. It says, these times are going to cause people's hearts to fail, for such is going to be the struggles and the trials to come. But my encouragement to us as Christians this morning here is to stand firm. It says, as in the days of Noah, there was still a remnant of people. There was still a handful of people, those that love God. And who was that? It was Noah and his family. And Hebrews 3:15 says this, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And this is why I believe this repurposed message is so important this morning. This is why I want us to have the spiritual guardrails that I've been speaking about over the last few weeks. Those things that cause us to live differently. And actually, if we live differently, you won't be popular. The world is not going to celebrate those things that you say, but you must be secure in whose you are, not just who you are, but whose you are. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are his, then he ultimately has got your back. He's ultimately got you. Because even tougher times are coming. I said it's going to be cheery, didn't I? But tougher times are coming. If you have to stand here this morning and say, it's all going to be fine and dandy, guys, I'll be lying to you. Tough times are coming. Are we ready? And I suppose this is the rub for me. If we're Christians, we are secure. But what are those about those people that we love that are not a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, it may be that you've sort of been on the fringes for a number of years. You've been looking in from the outside. And my challenge today is I say to you, turn. Turn from going your way and go God's way. Come follow him. If the things of this world scare you and you can only see it getting worse, I'm going to say to you, yes, you're right. It's not going to get any better as far as we can see from what the scriptures say. We've got to stop living the opposite way to what God calls us to. For that, those that know if you're doing some stuff wrong. For those of us that know where those things that we just don't want to do, we don't know why I do what I do. And it was part of guarding our hearts last week. Stop the things that rob you of that full relationship with God. Why? Because there are consequences. I picked on money last time. Jesus picked on money. Not because money is a thing that we should or shouldn't have, but because money masters you so much and you can go after the riches of this world and it dominates you. It becomes your master and you'll do anything for more money. Jesus says, turn from that. Repurpose your life. But repurpose your life because of what's coming. Don't harden your hearts. Is what it says in Hebrews. If the things I'm saying this morning are resounding with you, if you're thinking, come on, Darren, maybe you're making me feel slightly uncomfortable this morning, Darren, then what I would say to you is be thankful that God is still speaking to you. Be thankful that you can still hear his voice. And that's why I wanted to start with those songs and why I wanted you to hear that reading in its entirety, because I don't want this to be about, oh, well, Darren said this really cool thing or Darren said whatever. I want God to speak to you and I want you to be able to take that word home and open it up for yourself and say, God, what are you saying to me? If you sat here this morning saying whatever, hurry up, Darren, 7.5 minutes left, we're nearly done, keep going. These words are not having any impact on you at all this morning. And I believe they should impact us because it should break our hearts. If I can stand here and speak about absolutely anything and it's not resounding with you, then could I challenge you and say you are outside the kingdom of God this morning. And I believe there's no worse place to be. There's no worse place to be. It might be you've listened to the message for years and years. And I'm going to pick on baptism now. And you've never been baptized. What are you doing? We've got a baptism service coming up on Easter Sunday. So if you haven't seen a baptism service before, come and see what goes on. There's plenty of water to go around if that is for you. And boy, we've had someone on the day turn up and say, God has spoken to me and I need to get myself right with God now. And I've not done this. I am in disobedience to what the scriptures say. And I've got to get on and do it. If you've not followed Jesus, bear in mind, he led the way through the waters of baptism this morning. Who are you following? Did you only get so far? Jesus, this is all right, but that's how far I'm going. I'm not going any further with you. And I know this will rub some people up this morning, and I'm not looking to upset anyone, but what are you doing? You know, if tough times are coming, you can say, well, I'm half in. That's rubbish. And I'd be a dreadful pastor if I wasn't to challenge you on that this morning. You see, tough times are coming, and the things like baptism and those other things, they're beautiful gifts that God gives to us. And if you don't want the wonderful stuff and the great bits, when the tough times come, when the gunman bursts in through the door, you'll be the first to leave. You will be the first to leave. Are you prepared? Are you secure enough? Because at some point,
we're going to end up in that place where we're going to have to make a decision. And actually, as we're singing one of the songs, it says, every knee will bow. And that really struck me as we were singing this one. Every knee is going to bow. There's not one person here. Whatever you think this morning, you will bow the knee one day before Jesus, and you will be accountable to him. Are you ready? Or has your mind left the room already, and I've only got 5 minutes left? I don't want to be shouty. I said I didn't want to be shouty this morning. It's not my style. But if there's some sort of spiritual apathy in your life, and I've not been direct enough to challenge you with the word of God, that you may be saved and that you can stand firm on that day when the trials come, I have been rubbish as a pastor, and I don't want to do that. I want God to be able to maybe replay you time and time again. This is what that person said. This is what that person said. You had an opportunity to respond and you didn't do it. And this is why I believe this repurposed message is so important this morning. And I'm not going to pick on anybody. And if you've ever said this to me, I'm not picking on you. It's something that's generally said and other pastors or ministers have said to me. There's nothing worse when someone leaves the church service where you've really challenged them with the things of heaven. And they've gone, that was a nice message, Pastor. It's not for me. Lovely for other people, but nice, nice message. And I'm thinking, what's nice? I've just told you, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, when he comes back, you're not going to go and be with him. And if you want to read what the Bible says, it talks about lakes of fire and things that aren't good, eternal separation from God. I don't know what's nice about that. It's horrendous. And I wouldn't want any of us to be in that place. Why do I tell you this? And what does the Bible say? It says, look, this is what happened in Noah's day. Could you imagine him building the ark and people are walking past going, big boat, rain. What is even rain? We've never seen rain. You mean rain's, water falls out the sky, does it? That's very funny, Noah. Building a big boat for you. Oh, I see. Is that what it's all about? But when the waters came, they knew exactly what he was talking about. But they had no idea it was coming. If you have ears this morning, Paul says, do not let your hearts be hardened. Instead, be like Noah. And Peter actually records Noah. He calls him a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter 2:5. And I just suppose for the Christians here amongst us this morning, are you a preacher of righteousness where you go? Is your life transformed in such a way that you understand what is ahead? And like Noah, you know what God will do. And you know what God will do because God always does what God says he will do. And he's never not done what he said he will do. So if he said what he's going to do, he's going to do it. Does that make sense? Because he's God and he always does. What's your life like? Are you ready? Is your life a message to others? Is your life a message to others in your office, your workplaces, in the home, in your conversations? In the things that you do. And the part of the challenge was, we're bringing this into land now, I've got 3 minutes left. Do you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? Because that was one of our motto verses, wasn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God. Pursue God. Get the God bit right and everything else lines up. It doesn't mean you get rid of your hopes and dreams. If God was wired you a certain way, you will carry on and I'm sure you will do those things, but you'll do it to the glory of God and not to self. Or have you rejected the things of God over what you think is best for your life? God can have this much of me, an hour on a Sunday or whatever it is, but he's not having the rest. That is mine. And this is the challenge, isn't it? In church and in the media and everything today, there's so many half-truths out there. But have you fallen foul of half-truths? Are you only halfway there? You've done some of what God has asked you to do, but you haven't done the rest. We use a little book called Believe and Be Baptized. If you want to get baptized, it explains what baptism is all about. And actually, it gives the analogy of getting from one side of the river to the other side of the river. It talks about little stepping stones. And it says some people take the first couple of steps and then they get stuck in the middle. They don't go on any longer. They could be there from 5 years to 40 years, stuck in the middle of the river, saying, I've never fully entered in. You only got halfway. You never made it to the other side. And what is worse, you know it, But something, and I don't know what that is, maybe pride or a past wound, stops you from fully entering in. And this is where I would say that's the enemy's game. That's what he does. He stops you halfway. You get halfway and he stops you. And he's actually got victory in your life right now. It's a challenge, these words to you, but I want you to hear it this morning. You see, if God is speaking to you this morning, then I just want to lay a question before you. Oh, look, the clock's gone back. We've got another 5 minutes. I'll lay the question before you. Are you following Christ or not? You see, in Noah's day, you could have asked, are you on the ark or not? If you're saying this morning, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian or not, then the answer is you're probably not. Because I don't know about you, if I got on a big wooden boat and someone said to you, are you on a big wooden boat or not that looks like the ark? I probably know whether I was on a big wooden boat or not. And actually, when I became a Christian, when I made that commitment to say, Lord, I am going to follow your way and not my way, I know 100% that that is what I said. I made that commitment. I have been baptized because the scriptures told me to follow Christ. You will know if you've been baptized or not. You will know if the Holy Spirit lives in you or not. I know the Holy Spirit lives in me. If I get to those places where I really shouldn't be or there's a temptation in front of me, Holy Spirit lights those things up in my life that I can say, whoa, I'm not going there. I know what happens when I go down that road. Holy Spirit lives in me and he lights up my conscience. Says, Darren, that is not the things of God. I've read the Bible and I know God's coming back for me. Is he coming back for you? Do you know that or not? Is he coming back for you? Look, there's so many things I wanted to put in the message to wrap this up this week. But I believe amongst us this morning, there probably are folk that aren't yet saved here today. And I want to give you the opportunity to say this morning, look, we've sung some songs, something maybe touched my heart, I don't know what it was, something in the reading touched me, I'm not 100% sure what it was. I believe that's God speaking to you because he loves you. He's a compassionate God. For those that went through some of the prayer ministry stuff, some of the praying here yesterday, it was a wonderful experience for those that had some prayer. They met a God that loves them with big open arms that says, I love you so much, I want to take all this stuff away from you. And this folk that have spoken to me this morning said, I don't feel angry. I don't feel guilty. I thought I'd feel guilty about sharing some of this stuff that has been weighing me down. And I found a God that loved me and he took it all away. And that burden has gone. That weight maybe was on your chest just instantly had gone. So no music. I don't want any atmosphere. You might have seen some stuff on the telly. None of that stuff. I just want you to just close your eyes for a moment. And I'll ask God that question, am I in or am I out? God, have I made that decision to follow you or not? And I'm not manufacturing anything here. It's your decision. No pressure. Are you in or out? Do you want to follow him or not? What is God saying to your heart right now? Maybe you just want to pray a prayer like this that says, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I'm sorry I've gone my way. And Lord, I do want to go your way. I do want to put my hope and I want to put my trust in you, Lord. And I'm sorry for the things that I've done. And Lord, I want to turn my life around. That means going in 180 degrees. I was going that way, Lord. I want to go the other way and I want to follow you. And you might say to God this morning, Lord, will you help me in these things where life is difficult and I need you to show up? And Father, I want to follow you this morning. That it's not about anything I can do to earn that, but I recognize that Jesus Christ is your Son. I recognize that Jesus Christ died on that cross, and the good news is that he rose again 3 days later. Lord, I believe that to be true. And that, Father, I confess those things that I've done in my life. I agree with you, the stuff that I've done that doesn't honor you, that's not right. And this morning, Lord, I say sorry. And I lay those things down this morning. I say, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, this is my prayer. Amen. Look, my conclusion is simple this morning. It is literally 2 minutes. I just pray that you've opened your eyes up now. Open your eyes up to this world. We live in a world where the Bible says worshipping other gods or practicing things of the occult is actually evil in the sight of God. That's what the Bible says. But the world will say something different, and it refuses to believe it. You're going to say this is contentious again, Darren, but what does the Bible say? The Bible says marriage is between one man and one woman. It's forever and it's ordained by God, and yet the world refuses to believe that too. You might say, and I know with my kids, they've gone through the education system. It's actually indoctrinating our children into sinful behaviors because they now accept things that are evil as good and good as evil. You've only got to look to America where all the Ten Commandments have gone off the walls. You might say, oh, Ten Commandments, what's that all about? It's the Word of God. It is seen to be wrong. Do not do those things anymore. I imagine Noah had these conversations with those that walked by his ark when they mocked him. And he said, this is what God says. And they say, no, we mock you. Until the flood came. And then they knew. But this is the word this morning. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I can look around the room and there's little smiles that break out because they know Jesus is coming back. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, would you come soon? Lord, this world is broken and we do not want to see any more people suffering. Are you ready? Because as the scripture said, we read it earlier, he'll come like a thief in the night. You won't know. That's not a trick you this morning. That's to tell you the truth. If you're not ready, you're not ready. And you'll know if you're ready or not.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.